baby, right here at home. Get lost in my body and pretend that nothing is wrong.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. Broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territories, this is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's your next hour of commentary and music.
But we just need one night to apply that good pressure.
You ever take the longest bus ride of your life and then you realize, oh, it's just my life? My name is Leslie.
Exactly seven professors. Madison, Nilsson, Orozco, Patton, Robinson, Sarkis, and Togo were hired in the years 1989 through 1995. Each professor has one or more specialties, and any two professors hired in the same year or in consecutive years do not have a specialty in common. The professors were hired according to the following conditions. Madison was hired in 1993, Robinson in 1991. There's at least one specialty that Madison, Orozco, and Togo have in common. Nilsson shares a specialty with Robinson. Patton and Sarkis were each hired at least 1 year before Madison and at least 1 year after Nilsson. Orozco, who shares a specialty with Sarkis, was hired in 1990. Which one of the following is a complete and accurate list of the professors who could have been hired in the years 1989 through 1991? A. Nilsson, Orozco, Robinson. B. Orozco, Robinson, Sarkis. C. Nilsson, Orozco, Patton, Robinson. D. Nilsson, Orozco, Patton, Sarkis. E. Orozco, Patton, Robinson, Sarkis. I'm Jade.
Is that the answer?
Yeah. Okay. That's Jay. I'm Jade. Also, throughout the entire thing, I realized that I pronounced one of the names wrong. It's not Orozco, it's Orozco, but I was committed to the bit.
We got to do commitment.
Yeah.
We got to know. Sell it. Sell it.
You didn't even notice.
No, I didn't. I had no clue. So, you know, you did it. You did your job.
I did do my job.
So you're studying for the LSATs?
Yes.
Can I ask why and what inspired you to do so?
Yeah, actually, it's really funny because I can pinpoint the exact moment where I was like, I want to go to law school. It was when I was at work and was making a particularly difficult cake and I was doing the crumb coat. But it was a really crumbly cake. And the cake is like a chocolate cake and the icing is super light. And I kept getting the crumb coat in the final coat of icing. And I was like, this is too stressful. I want to go to law school.
Oh, okay. So you thought like, law school wouldn't be as stressful as.
And that was like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's basically the only reason.
What are the LSATs?
The LSAT is basically an entrance exam. I don't even remember what it stands for. I keep thinking it's like law standardized testing, but it's law school admissions test.
So what do you have to study for?
The law. Actually, no. I think it's a common misconception that you have to have legal knowledge where the LSAT is based off of legal knowledge, but that's why you're going to law school, because you don't know anything about the law. It's basically just like it's a logic exam. It tests your reading comprehension, logical reasoning, analytical skills. So nothing that's like very like content or knowledge based, just stuff like if A is C, then D is E, then what is F? Stuff like that.
I see.
And also it's super stressful because you have to do everything in like 30 minutes. There are four sections and each section is timed 35 minutes. Just gotta think on your feet. I guess in a chair because you're sitting down. Gotta think.
And this is less stressful than making the cake and like practicing the cake.
You have to stand when you're making a cake. I don't like to use my brain and also have to stand.
Okay. That's fair.
And also, like, not even just using my brain, I'm also, like, using my hand. Like, I'm using my hand to hold the spatula to ice the cake. So it's, like, a collaborative process. It's three parts of my body that I don't want to use at the same time.
Don't you have to use your hand to, like, write? Or is that, like,
true, but you do have to use your hand to write, but it's all administered online, so you don't have to, like, you know, exert pressure or, like, worry about your handwriting. Like, the way you have to worry about the crumbs getting into the final icing of your cake.
Ah, I see. Okay, so it's like, it's going to be legible anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Also, it's multiple choice, so you don't have to write really anything, just to fill in bubbles.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Anyways, you're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was really, yeah, we really just did like maybe a 15-minute introduction.
I think it was segment. Longer than that.
Oh my God, it better not be. That's going to be such a pain to edit. Yeah, on today's show, we are, I guess, talking a little, we talked a little bit about the LSATs and journeys, but today we are also talking about a very cute little thing that happened on Netflix recently. It is on the Netflix streaming platform, Heartstopper, the acclaimed television series adapted from the popular webcomic by Alice Oseman of the same name. And I watched it, and it was nice. It was good. What music do we have on today, Jade?
Then we have a pretty, a relatively more upbeat playlist than what we usually play on the show.
No sad Wasians?
No sad Wasians. I don't think a single Wasian or an Asian. Actually, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't assume.
That doesn't sound like we're filtering out emotions. That just sounds a little bit racist. Like no Asians, no Wasians.
No Wasians allowed on this playlist. No Wasians allowed on Typically Tuesdays.
It's Asian Heritage Month, for God's sake, Jake.
Wait, is it?
Yes,
is
it actually? May. Yes, it
is. Anti-Asian Heritage Month. It's actually a pretty noisy playlist. Lots of shouting and guitars and I was gonna say air guitars, but I'm thinking about electric guitars. Lots of riffs, lots of raps, lots of riff raps. You know what it is. Maybe Asians. You're just gonna have to listen and find out.
Masians. Introduce the first song, please.
Oh my God, Masians. What would that stand for?
Maybe Asians.
I know maybe Asians, but like what else? Malaysian nations? I feel like that's just Malaysian.
I guess so, yes.
What's a race that starts with an M? Martians. Martian Asians.
Martian Asians.
Anyways, here's Washed Away by the Darcys. Enjoy.
Something that they like. sink.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. My name is Jade.
My name is Leslie. And today we are talking about Heartstopper. And for the next hour, I guess, if you want to avoid any spoilers for Heartstopper, specifically in the webcomic and also potential predictions for season 2 of the Netflix series, maybe skip out on the talk portions of today's show and just listen to the music. But for now, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. So Heartstopper, it was originally a webcomic published on Tumblr and Tapas by a writer-illustrator named Alice Oseman, who has previously written works such as Solitaire and Loveless. The story mainly focuses on Charlie Spring and his blossoming feelings towards a young rugby lad named Nick Nelson. Charlie is a bit of an awkward, nerdy kind of guy. He kind of appears like just kind of sheepish. The year before he became friends with Nick, Charlie was involuntarily outed at his all-boys school and, has some anxiety about that. Charlie is surrounded by loving friends, Tao. In the webcomic, there's a character named Alid, who does not appear in the television show. The television show has a character similar to Alid named Isaac. Then Charlie also has a friend named Elle, who recently transferred out of their school to an all-girls school following her transition. At Elle's school, she makes friends with Tara and Darcy, who are a couple at the school. Mostly it's about Charlie like being like, having like this really sweet crush on Nick, who's like just like this nice soft boy guy. He's a bit popular, and he's a jock, but all in all, like, he's a nice guy to Charlie. And eventually we find out that Nick also likes Charlie back. They become boyfriends, and later on they try to figure out like how they want to like tell their friends about the relationship, if they want to or not. Nick tries to figure himself out, I guess, having developed a crush on Charlie and that being like his first ever crush on a guy. Nick realizes that he's bisexual and then he comes out and stuff. I watched Heartstopper on Netflix. And I enjoyed it, and I originally was not going to watch it. I don't know. Is this just me, Jade? Like, I've gotten into to the point of my like queer adulthood where I'm kind of like, this stuff is unrealistic. Happy queer teenagers. I've never heard of such a thing. Is that just me?
You know what? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I feel like that was me when I Well, maybe Asians, maybe not. We're just having a very ambivalent episode. I feel like that was me. That was me when Love, Simon came out. I was doing, I watched it, I think at VIFF, actually. I was covering it for CJSF. And I wrote a review. I was like, this is really schmaltzy. But is it bad that it's schmaltzy? Maybe not. Maybe it is. Maybe not. I did a lot of that. A lot of my reviews are just like, maybe it is, maybe not. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. I can't say anything. I don't have an authoritative voice. This is what anthropology will do to you. You just like never have a strong opinion on anything. It's like, this is all relative. It all depends.
God. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. that's kind of funny how you're just like, with all of your film reviews. Makes sense. It feels like a very like, kind of like a pretty like typically Tuesdays thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The priming was right there. But no, yeah, I guess I should ask then, did you enjoy Love, Simon at all?
I think I liked it. I thought it was, I think I did. My opinion was that even if it's too schmaltzy, it shouldn't matter because young queer people deserve something schmaltzy. Like, why? I think up to that point, this was what, 2017, 2018, a lot of queer coming of age stories are like pretty sad. So it was nice once in a while to see something that it ends happily. Nobody dies. It's not tragic. And it was just like a nice happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not a happily ever after, but it felt realistically sweet. It wasn't so out there, but it was a kid with like accepting parents, with a good friend group, and it ends well for him. He like, I think it ends well.
Yeah, he gets like a boyfriend.
Can you imagine if it didn't end well? It was like, yeah, it's great. This is like a super sweet movie. And then it turns out he like dies in the end.
Oh, God.
No, I don't think he dies because they made a sequel, right?
I don't think they made a sequel to the... I don't think they made an adaptation to the sequel.
Oh, well. What do I know? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
Was that also the year you went to VIFF to watch that movie Boy Interrupted? Is that what it's called?
Boy Interrupted?
It's a very like harrowing story about a young gay boy's journey into gay conversion therapy. Gay conversion,
yeah,
or whatever.
Oh my God, yes. Maybe I was maybe part of my review of Love, Simon was in response to that, because that was a pretty harrowing movie. I think it also ends pretty well on a realistic note, but that was wild.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the same year. I did cover it for CJSF. Maybe it wasn't. I can't remember if it was that VIFF or Queer Film Fest. One of the two.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I get where you're coming from. Like this idea that like maybe stuff can be like too cheesy or like too like sweet, but you know, there's a lot of that like doesn't exist in mainstream media. And I guess that was kind of like the approach that I had when I watched Heartstopper. Originally, like I wasn't gonna watch it. My friend also ended her Netflix subscription, so I couldn't watch it. And I didn't want to like get one by myself. So I tried reading the webcomics instead, and I read some of the most recent chapters of it, and I knew already kind of like the premise and what happened in this television series. So reading the more recent chapters made me change my mind about watching the show. Because when you go further into the story, it gets a little bit dark. it's a little bit more intense, and it's not as, I don't think it's as like couple centered anymore. It's not as like, it's not specifically all romance centered anymore. And that was kind of the impression that I had going into watching the television show, which is that like this story is really sweet right now, and it's really, you know, it's really, really cute, and that's, and that can be a very good thing, but later on it's going to like, it's almost like going to balance out, and it's going to discuss things that feel that make things feel even more grounded than it already does. And actually, to be honest, the television show is, has those like, I don't know. I don't really know if I should say like intense or not, but like it has like really like very real feeling moments of like when kids experience isolation and bullying and the painfulness of maybe like questioning one's own identity and stuff like that. So it was something that I like underestimated about the series, and I'm glad that I like checked it out afterwards, because it's good, I guess. Yeah, I think it's good.
Okay, I just remembered it's called Boy Erased, not Boy Interrupted.
Oops.
I think you were thinking about Girl Interrupted.
Oops. Boy Erased. That's what it's called. Boy Erased. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, Boy Interrupted? They remake Girl Interrupted?
I don't know the names of anything. Hello?
Anti-feminism win. Right, let's play some more music. Here is The Royal Foundry with Little High, Little Low, which... fits pretty well into our theme today of that of our maybe yes, maybe no program. Enjoy.
All you'd ever want to need. CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. As a campus and community station, CJSF strives to provide points of view that are rarely expressed on mainstream media. This includes music that is not the top 40 and news you will not find on the big media outlets. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca. Just a minute.